Hello and welcome to Channels, the Next Play podcast. You're listening to episode 35 and going out on April the 16th, 2024. My name is Phil Jules. I'm a product manager for open source at Sakura and I'm based in Stockholm. And joining me today, I have Ben. Welcome back, Ben.
Hello.
Got a bit of a special episode for you today. Usually on this podcast, we chat about stuff, go deep dives, have interviews, talk about concepts. But today we thought we'd do a bit of a deep dive on plugins and do it as a bit of a kind of a walkthrough slash live demo type thing. We don't really know if it's going to work. I'm predicting it's going to be kind of scrappy. I don't know, Ben, what do you reckon? what have we got in store today? Can you give us an overview?
Oh, we're going to have some fun today. We're going to, basically the reason we're doing this is because we've had a lot of people start to ask about wanting to develop plugins, and everybody's trying to figure out how to make it work. We have a plugin ecosystem, but it's very, very immature, I would say. There's a lot of friction points that a lot of people run into when trying to make their own plugin. And so there's a lot of work that we have to do to just make that process better overall. But in the meantime, we figured it might be nice to just, let's just build a plugin and record it. And so that if people need help or run into issues, they can just watch the video and figure things out that way. So what I was thinking today is that we could, I wanted to walk you through the documentation that we do have. One of our example plugins is called the NF Hello plugin. And then basically show you how to build a plugin by basically taking the NF Hello plugin and adapting it to whatever you want to do. And what I want to do in particular with the plugin, there's a lot of different things we can do, but I figured the thing that would be most useful is to show you how to basically hook into the Nextflow runtime, listen to events like when a task runs or a task is completed or a file is published, collect all those events, and then generate some kind of report. This is a common thing that people want to do, is they want to capture all this runtime information and send it off to a logging service, or like I said, generate some kind of special report, provenance, things like that. Of course, we have plugins that do this, like NFProv, and Quilt also has a plugin that does this. But we figured let's just show a basic example so that you see the whole development process, and then at the end we'll have a nice little report to boot.
And I'm the guinea pig. Yep. And I'm a beginner in this. I mean, I've never done a plugin before. Obviously, I'm familiar with Nextflow and the ecosystem generally, but I'm certainly no Groovy engineer. So you're going to be leading me through and being kind, I hope. If it goes horribly wrong, there's going to be some post-processing to do on the video.
I wasn't much of a Groovy developer myself before I joined the team. So true. I've been there. Yeah. And I can hopefully help you through all the pitfalls that I dealt with. So the first thing I thought we could do is just look at some of the Nextflow plugin docs, because I think that's probably a good starting point. If you go to the Nextflow docs, there's a page called plugins. Mm-hmm. And this basically gives you an overview of everything you might want to know about plugins. We have some built-in plugins called core plugins. You don't really need to know a lot about those, but just to show as an example, a lot of the core functionality in Nextflow is actually implemented as plugins. And this is basically so that you can have sort of a core Nextflow runtime, which isn't bloated with all these different extensions. And then when you need certain bits, like you want to use AWS or you want to use Google Cloud or whatever, Nextflow will simply download the plugin that you need to do that. And it can do all this transparently under the hood. I mentioned this also to say that these core plugins can also be good examples to look at. If you want to develop your own, you can sort of see how it's done in the core plugin and then follow those patterns.
And the code for these plugins, that's in the main Nextflow repo still, though? Is that right? Even though they're a plugin, right, they're still part.
I believe all of these are in the Nextflow repo.
Nice. Anyone listening to this on audio, by the way, on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever, this is going to be more visual heavy than most podcast episodes. I will do my best to kind of talk through everything, so hopefully it will still make sense, but obviously check it out on YouTube or on Spotify with video if you want to see what I'm clicking on. but we're mostly going to be chatting, so don't worry too much. Is there anything we need to pay attention to right now in this page, Ben, or is it just kind of good to know that it exists?
I think the main thing I wanted to point out was maybe some of the different things that you can do with plugins. So the docs include some sections on different things you can do. The main one I would say is what we're going to do today is called the Observer, where you implement an observer, and that allows you to listen to various runtime events, and you can basically do whatever you want with those events. But there's many other things. You know, you can even, probably the most complicated thing you can do is write a custom executor. So if you think like local executor, Slurm executor, AWS batch, you can actually implement your own executor in a plugin. So this could be if you have, say, a custom scheduler that you use, or even just some custom third-party execution service, you could implement an executor in a plugin, and then that would allow you to use Nextflow with that custom execution service. Right. That's also a common thing we'll see in plugins. For example, if you know MemVerge or Yellowdog, these are both companies that have developed their main product as sort of a special execution service over the cloud providers, and they implemented Nextflow plugins that allow you to use Nextflow with their service. That's a common thing. Again, looking at the core plugins could be a good example of that. That would have been a fun thing for today, is implement the whole executor and see Nextflow submit jobs to that. But that is a whole can of worms that we can't really get into.
I think so we need more than an hour for that.
You can also implement custom operators and functions, which can be particularly useful. For example, if you're familiar with the NF validation plugin, recently rebranded to NF schema, used by a lot of NF core pipelines, they have some custom functions for loading a sample sheet, validating your params, things of that sort. Those are implemented through functions and operators and channel factories and all that. So you can even implement these sort of language extensions. Anyway, that's all fun.
Here we're basically talking about Nextflow plugins extending functionality of a core Nextflow language. Is there any way to kind of overwrite default behavior within Nextflow as well, or is it kind of modify what Nextflow is already doing, or is it purely additive?
I would say it's purely additive. I don't think there's a lot of places where you can overwrite. There are some interesting things I would like to try. For example, being able to like provide a custom parser for Nextflow scripts, so that you could actually implement your own language that uses the Nextflow runtime, kind of like how there are many different programming languages which use JavaScript runtimes, but for different purposes. That's way out in the future. Maybe something we can get into more. That might be more of a tech deep dive episode we can talk about.
At some point, the plugin gets bigger than Nextflow itself.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. But yeah, all these things are basically, you know, additive things, like you said.
Nice. Okay, should we dig in?
Yeah, let's do it. So let's pull up the NF Hello plugin.
And so this is the Nextflow.io.org, and there's a repo called NF Hello, right? Which is the one we're talking about.
Yeah, this sort of serves as both a Hello World plugin and also sort of a basic plugin template that you can use to bootstrap your own. So you can either clone it or fork it, whatever you want to do. I would say go ahead and get it down into your local environment, and then we'll dig through it.
I'll make a fork. Let's be safe. Given that I have right access to the Nextflow repo, I think it's a bit dangerous. I could clobber it by accident. There we go. Okay, so I'm on my own fork, and I'm just reading the README. This plugin comes with a bunch of these things already. It's got a custom trace observer, channel factory, operator, and a function. All good stuff.
Yeah, so we'll probably delete most of that stuff. Maybe we'll keep the observer around since that's what we're working on today. Yeah. But yeah, the README is important because this README will take you through some of the different pieces that this plugin has, but it also crucially includes instructions for how to build the plugin and test it and publish it, which we'll get into towards the end. For now, let's just get this code into local environment so we can look at it and build it and test it, and then we'll we'll start hacking with it.
Okay. So I've forked it to my repo. Can I just quickly clone it with the GitHub CLI here and CD into a directory. So got all the files there. Great. I'm going to open up VS Code as well and see if I can bring this in here. Hopefully this is nice and big for anyone who's looking at the video feed here. Okay. What have we got?
Right. So we've seen the README. Overall, what I would say is Nextflow plugins are basically Groovy projects. We use Gradle as the build system. If you're not familiar with Gradle, it's basically a build system. You can kind of think of it as Make, but like on steroids. Gradle scripts are written in Groovy, actually, as opposed to Make. And you can hook into, you know, sort of Java Groovy standard libraries, and you can do all sorts of crazy stuff. It's basically just an automation tool, right? So Nextflow uses Gradle to build projects, and so we use the same sort of approach for plugins. Most of this stuff is boilerplate, and you don't really need to mess with it. Mm-hmm. And I would say, yeah.
Do I want to change your name, I guess?
If you want to, whatever you want to name, I mean, I would probably just do like a project search for NFHello mm-hmm. and rename things that way.
Okay, so that's NFHello, we're going to strip it out with a channels demo.
All right.
Replace all. Okay.
Bold. Using the prefix, you're going to break tradition. Well, that's fine. We'll prove that it works. You might have some. Yeah, there might be some files you got to change around.
Yeah.
We'll change those as we go.
Okay. Now what? So that's settings.gradle updated and.
Yeah, settings. The settings are Gradle. You don't really need to change other than the name. So then you see there's a plugins folder. Mm-hmm. And then within plugins, there's a folder for just the plugin. So actually, with this whole repo, you could actually have multiple plugins if you wanted. There are a few cases where we do that with some of the core plugins, but you don't really need to. Go to the build.gradle, the first one, or the top, yeah, the higher level one.
The plugins.
Let's just go through some of this stuff. Yeah, so like I said, most of the stuff is boilerplate. You don't really need to mess with all this.
Got Paolo's email address in here. That's good.
Yeah, you can see it's grabbing some GitHub settings and with some defaults, but we'll show you how to overwrite that stuff. Yeah. And then let's look at the other build.gradle. So this is the one for the actual plugin. This is something, this file you might need to touch from time to time because it includes the dependencies for your plugin. Mm-hmm. And so if you ever need to, you know, import some special Java libraries to do whatever you need to do, those might need to go here.
Right.
For now, the only thing I really want to point out is the things to pay attention to are the Nextflow version and the Groovy version. So you can see that we're actually importing Nextflow as a library, and that's what will allow you to access, you know, Nextflow classes and stuff like that within your plugin code. Now this Nextflow version here doesn't mean that you can only use the plugin with this version. It just means that the plugin is built with this version of Nextflow, which generally means that you'll be able to use it with that Nextflow version and maybe the versions around it. This is sort of a tricky aspect of maintaining your plugin, is that, you know, say if you build your plugin against 23.10 of Nextflow, that will probably work fine for a while. But then at some point, as Nextflow continues on and on, Nextflow may introduce some breaking changes, which breaks your plugin if you're building against 23.10. Mm-hmm. So you're using 24.02. Core example here is that 23.10 was built with Groovy 3. Nextflow's been built with Groovy 3 for a while. Then in 24.01, we upgraded to Groovy 4. And so if you build this against 23.10 and then run it against 24.01, there might be some incompatibilities because of that, because your plugin is using Groovy 3, but then, you know, you're running it with Nextflow, which is using Groovy 4. It's not necessarily going to break. I've actually done some testing, and a lot of times plugins work just fine. Mm-hmm. But this is just one of the unfortunate difficulties with the current setup, is just that breaking changes can just kind of come up out of nowhere. And the best way that you can manage that is to basically, you know, have version releases of your plugin and sort of keep track of like the next flow, the range of next flow versions that this plugin will work with. So you've already set up your, so you've set up this plugin to build against 24.02. I think that's fine. We'll just go ahead and use that. Also scroll down and look at the Groovy version.
Yeah, I noticed that. So you can see the Groovy version 4 here that you were mentioning in the recent releases.
So NF Hello has already been updated to use Groovy 4. So I think we're all good there. Nice. And again, this doesn't necessarily mean that it's only going to work with Nextflow versions built with Groovy 4. But there's a possibility that there could be stuff that breaks. Yeah. And so it's just important to keep an eye on that. But aside from that, again, most of this stuff you don't really need to touch. So we've noted the Nextflow version. We're going to just go ahead and use the latest Edge release. And so let's just move forward with that. Now, let's see what else we've got in here. Again, most of this is boilerplate. Let's just go ahead and dive into the source code, because I think that's, we're ready to do that. Now, this is sort of how
I was thinking, did we want to try and build it before I start messing around with things too much? All right, we did that.
Well, you already changed the names and everything, so there's a good chance you've broken stuff that way. But let's give it a shot.
I can stash it, can't I? Should I try and stash it and then build it, or
Well, you've already changed the directory name too. You can't really stash that.
So time.
I'd say let's just move forward and fix whatever issues we run into. Okay. Open the make file there so that you can see some of the commands we have. So I said that Gradle will sort of like make files on steroids, but also we do have a make file that sort of wraps the Gradle scripts, just because it's usually easier to just have a simple make command over than the Gradle commands. So you've got all the basic stuff. What we'll do first is run make compile to just build it.
Okay.
And that works.
So do make compile. Try to make sure all my font sizes are big enough that everyone can actually see what's going on here. Make compile. Let's go. Hey. I broke something. Yeah, it's something to do with me renaming stuff. Like, I should have done it before I renamed it.
Possibly. Yeah. I've actually got this whole thing up on my system in parallel, so I can be testing this stuff. It could just be that it's broken.
I could also just not do it.
I'm actually getting the same error even without having renamed anything. So I think this might actually be a bug with the NF Hello project, which is good that we're pointing this out now, because then people will know. So this is a good segue into something I wanted to mention, which is that when it comes to building plugins, there's actually two different ways you can do it. One way involves cloning the Nextflow repo and sort of having it alongside the plugin, and then the build system will actually build Nextflow locally and then build the plugin. And then you have to like use like these local launch.sh scripts to run everything. I personally find this very annoying, but more importantly, it also doesn't work with all forms of testing, because with that setup, you can't test a pipeline that uses additional plugins, which now is basically every NF Core pipeline, right? So if I wanted to build a plugin and then test it using this approach, and say I wanted to test like FetchNGS, well, FetchNGS uses the NF Validation plugin. And in this sort of dev mode, those third-party plugins aren't supported, which means I can't run FetchNGS. And so what I like to do instead is there's an alternative approach where instead you basically install the plugin the same way as if you were to install like a remote plugin. And then you can just use your Nextflow install without having to clone the Nextflow code or build it locally or any of that stuff. Yeah. And you can basically use it exactly as you would like a regular plugin.
That's good.
The NF Hello plugin isn't set up to do this. It's something I think I need to add something to it. However, I do have this implemented in one of my own plugins called NF Boost. And so I'm going to do a little shameless plug now and take us to the NF Boost repo. And we're going to copy some code from that make file into here.
Okay. NF Boost. Here we go. So Ben Thie Sherman, NF Boost. And I'm going to go into the make file.
So first, you see that line at the top where it's assigning the version. Grab that line and copy it into your make file. This is going to grab the version which you've defined in the manifest file. And actually, why don't you go ahead and pull up that manifest.nf.
Where was it?
You should just do like a control P or command P, and you can search it from the top bar.
Okay, two of them. Which one do I want? Resources.
The resources one. So this is also a file to be aware of. This is where you define the version of your plugin, as well as the entry point. So that nextflow.hello.hello plugin, that's a class, we'll look at it later. That's basically the entry point of your plugin. And then also, here is where you can specify the minimum Nextflow version. Mm-hmm. So we're saying here 24.01, you're going to go ahead and bump that up to 02, since we're building with that. This is part of what I was saying about as you release new versions of your plugin to stay in line with new Nextflow versions, this is how you can do that. So we can say, okay, point one is going to be compatible with 24.02, but as new Nextflow versions get released, you know, we might release a point two, a 0.2, and that one might have a higher minimum version. Yeah. And so this way, when you run Nextflow with, and you have all these plugins published eventually, Nextflow will automatically be able to grab the correct plugin version based on the Nextflow version that people are using, okay. Right? So this is how you can sort of keep things stable. Nice. Anyway, So we've covered that file. So we're going to grab the version from that file. And then if you go down, look for the install rule. It's towards the bottom. Just grab that whole rule and copy it in.
Where did it come? After test.
Somewhere down there. Yeah, it's fine. And I mentioned in the boost there, change that bit to
okay.
And I don't know if it was, it might have been in that version command too. I would check that.
Where's the version command?
Oh no, in your make
boost, file. Yeah, great. Cool.
So you need to update that.
Just check. Yeah, it's just that one left.
Okay.
Channels demo. There we go.
All right. Now let's go and do a make install in your terminal and see if this works. So it's building the code.
But didn't we just say that the code build was going to fail? Oh, it worked this time.
Yeah. For some reason, the make compile doesn't work, but this one does. Probably if you dig into the underlying Gradle tasks, you can figure out why. But the point is, for our purposes, this approach works, and it's also easier to use. So I apologize that this just isn't just in the NFHello repo already. It's something I'd like to standardize first before we start pushing it everywhere. But this is sort of the hack that we use, and now it's memorialized in this podcast. So. Now you've built your plugin, and then you see it copied the local build of your plugin into your Nextflow directory. So if you go and list the .nextflow plugins directory, this basically contains, this is where all Nextflow plugins get installed. You'll see it's copied in there. Yours is pretty bare at the moment, but we've got channels demo 0.1.0.
I confess, I accidentally deleted my .nextflow directory a couple of days ago, which I think is why it's really empty.
Okay.
Because yeah. This would normally have NF validation and all those other plugins, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I occasionally clean house too. So now it's there. And in order to use it, let's go back to VS Code and... another file that is just sort of in the repo by default is there's a Nextflow config file at the top. Yeah, right there. So this is just sort of a convenience so that in the repo, you can just sort of run Nextflow and it'll use it. Now, if you right now, so you, this is, if you guys know, this is sort of the standard way to, include plugins in your pipeline, right? Currently you're not pinning the version
which means that Nextflow is going to try and look for this plugin online. Obviously, it's not going to find it. So what we need to do is pin the Nextflow version in that config file for now.
The plugin version, right?
And this is how you will use your local build.
The plugin version, not Nextflow version.
Use an at, not an equal.
Like that? So channels demo at 0.1.0.
And so now you should be able to, in your terminal, let's just do Nextflow run hello.
I'm gonna cheat and actually make a subdirectory so it's a bit cleaner.
Oh, okay, we're making some links. All right.
So now I'm in a blank directory called testing with the nextflow.config file in there, which has got that. So now I don't need to launch sh or anything. I just do nextflow run hello.
Nope, we've skipped all that because of the special make install approach that we did. And by default, the hello plugin just adds these little hello and goodbye messages at the beginning and the end of your pipeline. And it works.
Right. So what did it do? I can't see what it did.
You see where it says pipeline is starting and then pipeline complete?
Oh, there. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Nextflow doesn't normally say that, right? So that was inserted by the plugin. Yeah. And it was actually inserted by a trace observer, which is the thing that we're going to use to generate our report. So the trace observer can, two of the events that the trace observer can listen to is one when the workflow starts and then the other when the workflow completes. Mm-hmm. And so all it does is listen for that event and just say, print those messages.
Nice.
And it just sort of runs by default when the plugin is enabled.
So if I search for these strings in the project, there we go.
Yeah.
On flow create.
You already found
it. Flow complete. It's in two files here. Yeah, what are these two different files? So, the same files. It's just come up twice.
Could be. There's a bin folder in there for some reason. Yeah. It could be that the source is copied during the build step. Sometimes that's done just to keep it separate from, like, if you're like making changes at the same time, that's probably all it is. Yeah, that bin folder is copying all the stuff for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to worry about that because I think that's just an artifact of the building. Right. But yeah, you can see that. Now let's put that aside for a second and just start looking through some of the code. So the first class we can look at is the hello plugin.
So in
this is the
source main hello Nextflow hello plugin. Great.
Yeah, this annoying thing in Java projects is there's all these subdirectories. That's just how they do it. I've just learned to deal with it. In any case, yeah, I'm not going to be a JVM fanboy today, but we will be using Groovy. So the hello plugin is basically just the entry point. There's nothing really you do in it. Basically, you just have to have it. And that's what allows your plugin to be registered into the Nextflow runtime.
So question, when it comes up with saying like nextflow.hello here, should I have also renamed all of these somehow to be my channels demo? This is the namespace of the plugin, I guess.
Yeah, so it's really up to you. You know, the package namespace can be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't even have to be like nextflow.something. It could be literally anything. Okay. Just as long as all of your code sort of belongs to the same package so that they can reference each other easily. These package names can be whatever you want.
Okay.
Honestly, I would say just leave it as it is for now, just so that we don't have to deal with all the renaming stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to note that you can make that package name whatever you want for all the different source files. Nice. So the hello plugin, you can see we're implementing the base plugin, which comes from Nextflow. And literally, we're just existing. And that's just that will allow the plugin to be registered. So there's not much to do here other than just, you know, name it however you want.
Even being the fanboy I am, this looks kind of familiar. You know, I'm all right with this. I can get behind this. Okay.
Let's see what other files we've got.
So that was Hello Plugin.
Let's look at the Hello Factory because this will be used to provide our observer. So this is the way that you sort of register trace observers in Nextflow is you define this trace observer factory. And then you have this method called create, which you're overriding. And in that method is where you can basically, so you see the methods returning a list of trace observers. So you basically just define all the observers in your plugin that you want to use. And then you return that and the Nextflow will use them. Now note that right now we're just sort of always returning the observer, which means that if you enable the Hello plugin, it will always use this observer. A more common pattern you would do here is to maybe grab some config settings and conditionally insert some observers based on some config settings. Okay. So that session object you're getting as a parameter, that sort of represents, that's sort of the global state of like your Nextflow run. And the session has a property called config. If you say session.config, that is essentially a map representation of all of the Nextflow config files that were parsed in that run.
Check it out.
And so you can say session.config.navigate.
Oh, so GitHub Copilot did the wrong thing, did it?
Is this Copilot suggesting stuff? Yeah, well, I think this is actually correct because it's probably picking this up from some of the other classes, is that the Hello plugin relies on, there's like Hello config scope. You can do this. You can say session.config.hello, and then that will correspond to like the Hello config scope. Mm-hmm. But usually a nicer way to do it is if you instead say .navigate, and this is a method, and then as an argument, you give a string. Basically, you can give it whatever config setting you want. So you can say navigate parentheses, you know, hello.enabled, foo.bar.baz, you know, sort of the same sort of dot notation you would use in the config file, and it will go and grab that setting from the config or return null if it's not defined. And so this could be, for example, a way that you know conditionally enable an observer, and that's a little bit nicer, right? Because then users can use your plugin but then only use the observer whenever they want to use it, right?
Okay. So then I assign that to a variable and use that variable however, like this.
Yeah, so basically you could say if is enabled and then put that result.add in the if statement. Actually, yeah, let's go ahead and do this because we're going to make an observer that generates a report, and so it should be something that is toggleable, right? People should be able to enable it explicitly.
I'm going to stick it down here before I forget as well. So now in the next config, I need to do hello as a top level scope, or is it plugins.hello or something?
No, yeah, hello is fine.
And then enabled equals true.
Yeah. And so you can also access, like, you can access any of the configuration, even like the built-in config scopes. Mm-hmm. This can be useful if, say, maybe you're depending on some like special AWS or Azure settings or whatever. You could hook into those settings. Maybe if you need to use the user's credentials for something, like some service, maybe it's a service that uses AWS credentials, you could grab their AWS credentials and use that. So it can be quite useful.
Nice.
Now let's... we'll look at the Hello Observer in a moment, but first let's go and look at some of the other classes that are there. Just, we're not going to use them, but just to show them. So let's look at the Hello Config. This is sort of an optional thing. It's a nice pattern you can do. You know, what we just did earlier was basically just grab the config settings directly out of the config file. If you wanted to have, because that config.navigate approach doesn't return like typed results, like it just sort of returns whatever it is. But if you wanted to have sort of like a formally defined like config object with like typed properties and like validation of config settings and stuff like that, what people typically do is they declare some sort of config class like this. And then what you're seeing there is there's a constructor, we're getting a map, and we're basically just transforming the map. We're pulling out the settings that we want out of that map.
Could I define enabled as being a Boolean, for example?
Yes, you could do that if you want.
Like this?
You want it to be enabled by default?
I have no idea.
Well, it's your decision. You're the plugin developer.
So if it's not...
what do you want the default behavior to be?
So that's saying if it's not defined, set it to false by default. Okay.
Yeah, that's a fun operator. It's called the Elvis operator, because if you look at it sideways, it kind of looks like Elvis with his little slick back hair. It basically means use the first thing, or if the first thing is falsey, then use the second thing.
Okay. So if it's false, so then you also, it's false.
Yeah, so you don't really need it, but you could do it there for posterity if you want.
Yeah.
And then you need to declare that enabled as like a member in your class.
How do I do that?
So you've got that prefix member. I would just, you know, rejig that to be a Boolean enabled.
Here, down here, get prefix, you mean? No. Right.
No, up top where it says final private string prefixed. You're having fun with all these Java modifiers. You'll make it a Boolean instead of a string, and then, yeah, enabled.
Like that.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and get rid of the prefix and all that extra stuff. We don't need the prefix.
And do I need get? Sorry, do I want to make a, what's this, a function get enabled?
Yeah. So you can either, so the member is currently private, so you would want to have a function over it. Alternatively, you can just make enabled public, and then you don't really need the method. It's just sort of a matter of personal preference. Again, you know, fun with Java. What you could do is take out the private, but leave the final. And then what will happen is that it will get set in the constructor, and then you'll be able to access it without needing that function, but you won't be able to change it because it's final. That can be a nice, more concise pattern.
But then I can't override it in the config file, can I? Or you mean I can't override it in the code?
Yeah, you couldn't just like randomly change it from other places, right, which is sort of a nice pattern to have, right? Mm-hmm. The purpose of this class is to just be a container for the settings and just sort of be an immutable, you know, representation, right? So we're going to build this.
I can get rid of this line as well then, right? Like the default one.
Well, no, you still need that because that's grabbing it from the config.
Yeah.
All right. So let's keep going. Let's look at the next file, which is the hello extension. This is where you can define custom functions, operators, channel factories. All those can go in here. These are a little bit more advanced, and they're a little bit tricky too, because you gotta get them just right to make them work. But you can see, again, we're extending a extension point from the Nextflow runtime. There's an init method at the beginning. This is basically a way for Nextflow to provide you that session object I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So it gives you the session, and usually what you do is just save the session. You can see also at this point is where they're grabbing the, you know, building that config object. I think this is because they use that config setting in some of these custom
examples,
custom extensions.
I was just wondering whether I'm going to have broken loads of stuff by removing the prefix config option.
Well, we're just going to delete all this stuff in a moment anyway. Okay, cool. So yeah, there's a custom function and there's a custom factory and a custom operator just to show how they all work. Mm-hmm. You can see all these things are basically just functions, but they're annotated. You see like that reverse function has the factory annotation, yep. Similar for operator function. Basically you add that annotation and then your function has to have the right type signature. So you see in this example, the goodbye function, you've got a data flow read channel as the input, and then it's returning a data flow write channel. If you have those conditions and it's annotated as an operator, basically Nextflow will be able to pick it up and register it as an operator, and then you'll be able to use it just like a regular operator in your code.
Amazing.
And so this can be, you know, this is a less common use case, I think. A lot of times it is sufficient if you want to add custom functionality, just to like write a function in your Nextflow pipeline, even. You don't have to write a function in a plugin. You can, but you can do this exact same thing in your pipeline and then just use those. And oftentimes, instead of writing a custom operator, you can just write a custom function and sort of reuse one of the existing operators, you know, with that function. A lot of times that's all you need.
I guess the nice thing about putting it in a plugin is that you can share it across multiple pipelines and maintain that code in a single location rather than duplicating it everywhere.
Right. It's a bit easier to share a plugin than, you know, you could put a function in a module, say like an NF core module, and then probably distribute it that way. I believe people are starting to do that. But then, you know, you have to sort of be using the NF core modules and stuff. And so, yeah, there's trade-offs there. I would say, let's go ahead and delete all of this stuff. And just keep that. If you want to use the hello config, you can.
No, that's deleted.
You don't really need it, because you've already grabbed the file. So yeah, delete the extension. And then let's finally look at the hello factory, or no, the hello observer.
Am I deleting a factory? Hello.
No, you need that because we're keeping the observer. yeah. So this is where we'll be working for I think most of the time here.
But the factory, and that was Is that? Oh, right. I forgot. I've lost track now. What was the factory then? This was all right. The factory is adding in the observer that we're
getting. Yeah. And actually, there's one more file we should look at before we dig into the observer. If you go under resources, and then there should be, we've already looked at the manifest. That's the one we looked at earlier. Mm-hmm. And then there's this extensions.index. Now this file is very important because this is really what, this is sort of the final connection between your plugin and Nextflow. So you've got that Hello plugin class, which is like the entry point. This file sort of registers all of the classes in your plugin that are actually providing extensions. So you can see we've got listed here the Hello Factory and the Hello extension. So anytime you define one of these extension classes, you need to include it in this extensions file. And then when Nextflow runs your plugin, it's basically going to scan this file and register all of those. So we can go ahead and cut out the extension one because we don't have that anymore. But notice that we do have the factory and we need to keep that in here. Mm-hmm. So you can think of factory as sort of another sort of entry point for registering custom observers.
Okay, so it's, yeah, hello, great. That lines up with that. Cool.
Yeah. I realize there's a lot of moving pieces here. You know, I wish it were simpler, but this is why we're making this video. So we've gone over all the things and we've basically gone through all the boilerplate now. And so now we can actually just write the code that we want to write. Mm-hmm. Basically all of it will be in this observer. So we've gone over these events. You can see the message there, onflow create, onflow complete. We're not, of course, there's some other events we need to look at. I'm guessing, do you have the Nextflow repo cloned locally at the moment?
Absolutely.
Oh, how handy. Well, that open. Let's look at a file in the Nextflow code.
Let me see. Nextflow. Anything in particular?
Yeah, look up the file called Trace Observer. Yeah, that first one right there. So this is the interface that we're going to be using. And if you scroll down, you'll see all the different events that are implemented. Some of these are in those plugin docs. I don't know if I listed all of them, but it's good to have this file handy to see which events you want to use. And actually, you know what we can do? Let's just copy all these functions, all these like default functions. Let's just copy all of them into our observer so that we have them.
See if my multiple select worked there.
Yeah, there you go.
What's that?
So these are all the functions you can implement. So Trace Observer is an interface in Java. You can it's exactly what it sounds like. It's just interface. It defines a lot of functions, and then we're implementing that interface, which means that we can. What was that function you just? Oh, you just deleted the ones you already got.
Deleting a duplicate.
Yeah. And so you can implement any of them that you want, or none of them, whatever you want to do. And each of these events corresponds to like a thing that happens in the Nextflow runtime. So you can see we've got onflow begin, onflow complete for when the pipeline begins and completes. We've got various events for the task lifecycle. On process, it's a little confusing because there's the process, and then there's the tasks that are created by a process. And so, for example, on process create, that event is emitted whenever like Nextflow is reading through your pipeline script and it like registered, like you defined a process and it like parses that process and defines it. And the task processor is a class in Nextflow that corresponds to that process. I don't think we're going to use that today. We could. It could be something to like as a way to, if you wanted to like list out these are all the processes that you used, but we probably won't use that for now. And then on process terminate is emitted when all the tasks in a process have completed. And so again, that can just be if you want to do some stuff at the end of the process, you can do that. And so let's just go ahead and delete those for now. We won't mess with those. Okay. And then all these other on-process events actually correspond to individual tasks, not like the generic process. And you can tell how they're different because here you're getting a task handler, which basically is represents the run. It has all the information about the task properties and, you know, what were the results, the, you know, like the standard out, standard error of the task. And then a trace record is, again, it sort of has a lot of the information about the task. That's the information that will be saved to the cache, actually used for resume. But you can also access that here. Now, what I want to do for today is we're going to use this observer to generate a report for Nextflow. So we're going to listen for every time a task completes and every time a file is published. We're going to basically save a record of that. And then at the end, we'll render all that information into like a JSON file or something, you know, something simple.
So delete all the other functions that we're not interested in.
I think the ones we'll want to keep are on process complete. Also, you might want to keep that on process cached because maybe you want to also save the tasks that were cached. We should get the same report regardless, right? And then, yeah, we don't need any of those. And then on file publish.
So I've
on float.
I accidentally copied over two of these. I don't know why. There's three.
It's because there's two different signatures. Basically, it used to be Nextflow would only send you the destination of the publishing. A while ago, we added another version that also gives you the source because that can be useful. And actually for us, that will be useful for us. So let's just keep the one that, let's just keep this one because this is the one that Nextflow will use. So this is whenever a file is published, the source is like the location of the file in the work directory. Mm-hmm. And then the destination is like when you specify published here and like the directory and all that, the destination is like the final path, the location that it was published to.
A bit of trivia here as well. It's quite interesting. This is added by Bruno, and Bruno Grant that was the original author of the NFProv plugin, right? Which is what we're going to work with. So it's kind of quite appropriate.
Yeah, we're going to be doing sort of a mini NFProv here. Yeah. Okay, so we've got our events here, and basically we just need to save some of those events. So
should we just do log statements first and just check when it works? Or am I being...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do that.
I have a good log debug. So let's just log the handler name.
And yeah, do the... why don't you include the handler? So if you do handler.task.name... that should give you the name of the task.
Handler.task.name, like that.
Yeah. And then with the on file publish, that one needs to be just publish, print the source and the destination or something. And while we're doing, do source.toURI string. So URI and the it's capital U and capital S, and the rest is lowercase.
Camelcase.
And that's a function, so add the parentheses.
So
I mention this because this is a common caveat whenever you're printing like S3 paths and remote paths and stuff like that. If you just print like the path, like source.toString or whatever, it will actually chop off the S3 prefix, which kind of makes it look like it's a local file. And so you want to use .toURI string if you actually want like the full like URI path. So just wanted to mention that here. Okay, let's do it. Let's give it a go. So you want to do make install again, and then it's just a normal Nextflow run.
Wrong directory.
You're in the wrong directory.
Ah, what went wrong?
Uh-oh. Let's see what we got.
I think the failure is almost as interesting as everything else.
Okay, so what's happening here is we just added a bunch of functions to that observer and we didn't actually import the classes. Uh-huh. And so we need to import the task handler and the trace record and the path. So the path, let's do the path first. The path is, if you go up top here, and we have to import like the full sort of package name.
I assume it's being installed up here as well, right? In the next.
Oh, good point. Yeah, just grab it from the trace observer. So just all three of them are there. Just go ahead and grab all three of them.
Oops. Did I just, yeah, it was that one, wasn't it? Task handler.
Yeah.
No, not task.
So the path is sort of a standard Java library. And then the task handler and trace record are from the next flow runtime.
Trace record's not being imported, weirdly.
Oh, yeah. It's because trace observer is in the same package as trace record. So, it will be import nextflow.trace.traceRecord.
Import nextflow.trace.traceRecord, like that.
Yeah. There you go. Now it should work. Or at least we'll get past this stage of errors.
The new error. Hey, look at that.
All right, here we go.
That would have taken me probably half an hour to figure out. Okay, so now I can go into testing and I can just do the same thing again, right? Next flow run hello.
Yeah. Yep.
See what happens. Yeah. Look at that.
All right.
I don't believe
We've got the name.
It actually works.
We didn't publish anything. So we might want to, and the hello plugin doesn't really create any files.
Okay, so if I go back here, I can do code. Nextflow assets, Nextflow hello. That's where it's Nextflow's cloning the repo, right?
Yeah.
So now we can hop into main.nf. And then I want to do write this to a file. X.txt. And I can say output is path. Should work, right?
Just take out the standard out, yeah.
There we go. All right.
And now it's going to be...
So the view is printed. Maybe I'll just get rid of the view altogether because I think that's confusing matters.
Actually, change it to view and then with a closure do it.txt. And then it should restore the original behavior. So it looks like, you know, the normal run.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Okay.
So we've got, that's coming from the view statement in the pipeline code. And we've got our log statement here saying that the on process complete was invoked, which is good. But new this time, now we have on file publish was invoked as well. Which is what we wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, sure enough, the source, which is in the work directory there, and the published results directory. Nice.
Yeah.
It worked.
Okay, folks, we had a minor diversion. Basically, we ended up hacking our local copy of the Hello pipeline to make it publish some files. And so that's what you see here, is that in addition to all the normal stuff, printing the Hello, and then also the logs we've added, you can now see the on file publish, and then you can see the source and the destination. There's the work directory, the ugly work directory path, and then there's the nice results published directory path. And so now we're good to go, and we can start working on this report. This is where all the real groovy coding comes in, because now we got to like start thinking about data structures and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So
log messages are not enough. So what's the plan here? We're going to try and build a JSON file or something.
Yeah. Now I told you before the podcast to keep the nfprov plugin on hand. So we can use that as a reference, but we'll see how far we can get just right here. So just thinking about the information we want to capture, what I'm thinking is we'll have a JSON file and it'll just have tasks and then files or published files or whatever. And the tasks will just have a list of objects, and maybe for now we can just include the task name, just as an example, and then the files we'll just include the maybe the source and the destination or something. And so in order to have all that information, we basically need to maintain a list of tasks and a list of published files in the class. So let's declare those at the top of the class definition.
So that's up there, right?
Yeah. So we'll have list.
Final, is that the right def or death?
You know, let's not bother with all these modifiers. We don't need any of them. Let's have a list. Well, it's a capital. This is like the type. It's capital L list. And then in brackets, you're going to say, or no, like the angle brackets. So this is like, trying to get this right. this is how you specify like a generic type. Let's just say task handler. So we'll just save the task handler for every task. And then, you know, call it whatever you want, just tasks or handlers.
So I need an equal sign there or no, just like that.
Yeah, so let's initialize it to an empty list.
Like that.
Okay. And then we'll have a similar list for the publishing. Actually, so since the publishing is mapping a source to a destination, let's get fancy and do a map. So instead of a list, it's a map. That's not how you do a map in Groovy, but we'll fix that in a moment. Let's just start with a type.
Which is path, right?
So it's going to be a map from path to path. So if you go up top, take out the list and all that stuff and just do map. And then in that, just do path, comma, path. And then you've got these spaces before the angle brackets, which are bothering me. So get rid of those. It's not incorrect. It just bothers me. And then, that's how you do a Groovy map right there. Copilot's figuring things out. So that's an empty map. And then you need to call that, you know, like files or publish files or whatever you want. Okay, so now we've got these lists. And then the idea is whenever a task comes in or a file comes in, we'll just add them to the list. So let's start with the tasks on process complete. The easiest way to do this is just to say task and then, yeah, it's already got it. The arrows handler.
Copilot saving a day here.
Yeah.
There we go. So
that's same thing if it's cat.
Appending the handler object into the tasks list.
Yeah, that's sort of a Groovy shorthand that you can do. Yeah.
You can do that with strings and all kinds of things, right? I think I've done that before.
Yeah, also with strings, I believe you can do that. Or at least with like if you have like a file, you can use that to write text to the file. Mm. Okay, and then here, again, it's already figured it out. We're just assigning, although I think I would probably do it the other way around. Mm. I would say files source equals destination.
Seems more semantic, doesn't it, that way?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, the only limitation here is that if you were publishing the same source file to multiple destinations, this wouldn't be able to capture that.
Yeah,
but also, like, keys. Why would you do that? So... we're just keeping it simple for now.
Yep.
Okay, so now we've got all the core information, and all we got to do now is when the workflow is done, we'll generate the JSON file.
That's here, right? On flow complete.
Right.
Everything should already be in scope, so that's easy because we're still in the same class. Is this where I need to go to the NFProv plugin to copy something?
I am looking something up right now. It might be good to pull up the NFProv. Let's go look at the BCO renderer. So another shameless plug for one of our plugins is NFProv, which supports generating biocompute objects, popular provenance format for the FDA, among other things in this plugin. But
conference coming the BCO, up soon with you talking about it as well, right? Isn't there a conference at the FDA coming up soon?
Yeah, we got a talk coming up. I'm going to DC. We're gonna do a little presentation on it. BCO. So this is going to be very similar to what we're trying to do because the BCO is essentially just a giant JSON file with all this provenance information. Of course, BCO includes way more than what we're doing, but we can do something simple. So let's go down here and I'll show you how we do it in the BCO. If you go down to render, you can see also here this render function is getting some tasks and the published outputs, right? So we're on the right track.
This looks familiar.
Now let's go down a little bit further. What I do here is I just create a giant Groovy map with all the information, and then there's a function to map that to a JSON file and all that. So let's go ahead and define the structure of the JSON file that we want. So I think what I said was we'll have a tasks object and then a files. Look at this. It's already doing it. This is literally what I was going to say, I think.
I just hit tab and let Copilot do all the fun.
So what we're seeing here is, this is very minimal, but you can see we've got the tasks object, and then we're just getting the name of each task and putting it into an array. You can imagine expanding that into being, instead of just an array of names, maybe an array of objects. Actually, let's do that. So in this closure here, let's declare a map with a name property, and then name colon it.task.name. Other way around. You got it. Okay.
What am I doing? Sorry.
It should be name colon it.task.name.
Like, I mean.
Yeah. Great. So this will create a little object with the name. And that way, if you wanted to add more properties, we could add more easily. Yep. Right. And then let's do a similar thing with the published files. So it's already made like a pair with the KV.
Yep.
AV is just the source path and destination, right? Actually, let's rename those to source and destination just so that it's clear. And then let's turn that list into a map by adding like a key in front of each. So where it says source.toUR, not there. That's just the arguments it's giving you. So it should be source colon source.toURI string. And then same thing with the destination. Yeah. So this is just how, when you iterate over a Groovy map, the closure that it gives you is the key and the value as the arguments to the closure. Gotcha. That's all that is.
Yeah.
And then you can see with the tasks, there's no argument in the closure. So when you don't specify an argument, there's an implicit IT variable.
So it's the same
which as that, you guys right? are probably familiar with. Yeah, so it's just doing that. So maybe that's more explicit. So now we've got our Groovy map.
I can put whatever I want in here as well, right? So I can also have like author fill as a string.
You can put whatever you want. You could grab stuff from the Nextflow config, other runtime information, the session object. You could throw it all in there. And that's what the BCO does. It prints a ton of stuff. Mm. And so now we've got the object in memory, and so we need to convert it to JSON and then save it to a file. So if you go back to the BCO, I'm pretty sure it's just a one-liner at the bottom.
There we go.
Yeah, down there. So
in the same place, just underneath like that?
Yeah. Now, the only thing that's missing here is the path.
Yeah, definition of a path.
We're saying... we're saying, and I think that this is just something, we'll just define this, okay, ourselves.
Okay, because you're doing clever stuff.
I think the BCO is getting the path from like a config setting. Yeah. Let's just say, final path equals...
How's this?
I don't know.
GitHub Copilot is giving a suggestion that looks logical. Session workdir resolve.
It's resolving it against the workdir. That's not really what we want. Let's do path, capital P path dot of. Yeah, the hello.json is fine.
Cool.
We probably want it to go into the results directory, but this is fine for now. So this will save it to a JSON file in the launch directory called channels demo. And then the next line we're saying path.text equals.
So path.text JSON. Is just defining the contents of the file, isn't it? That's a Groovy thing.
Yeah, this is how you can basically define, like write all the, like basically clear out the file and write this text to it. Mm-hmm. And so we're saying JSON output that pretty print. So we're converting, so Right now, it's still, you see it still says BCO over there, yeah. So you need to rename that to your JSON variable.
And I need to import.
And so it's converting it to JSON, pretty printing it, and then the pretty print returns like a giant string, and then you're just saving that string to the file.
And presumably, I need to import this up here as well.
Yes. So this is like a Groovy standard library.
Nice. Called JSON.json output. Okay. Should we try it?
All right, let's do it.
Moment of truth. Nope.
Oh. Well, now I wonder where it was saved. Or if it was saved at all.
Could be anywhere.
We're probably just missing something in our code. The path.of should be relative to where we launched the command.
I can log it, right? Log.info.
Yeah, let's...
file written. Okay.
Yeah, path.to URL string. Okay, yeah, let's try that.
Ah, no. On process complete was invoked. Pipeline complete. We didn't do anything past pipeline complete. There's no more log statements after that.
Let's look at it again. I'm beginning to wonder if Copilot fooled us somehow. It inserted some weird thing. But I don't see anything wrong with this. One thing we could try is instead of the path.of, just do the string and then as path. That's another way to get it into a path. Let's try that. I still don't really explain why it's not logging anything, but let's try to log the JSON output. Yeah, just do that.
I was gonna do this, but
sure. Oh, I guess we didn't build the plugin, did we? That's probably why.
that would do it. Right, make install first. All right, now we have to do. Oh, look at that! It built straight away. No syntax errors.
No.
I'm happy with that.
I'm that good.
My finger's on the keyboard. All right, I think you get to take credit this time. There we go. Oh, look at that.
Look at that.
Beautiful.
Beautiful JSON file. We've got the task names, publish source and destination. I mean, this is you're well on your way to writing your own custom provenance format here. This is yet another provenance format.
Exactly. Genuinely useful. I like it.
Yeah, it's like I said, this is a very common use case that people have, right? Because all that information about the tasks and the files being published, like that's like the core information about your run. And oftentimes people want to save that to a report or send it off to some service and, you know, they can do analytics on it or whatever they need to do. And so you've got a nice skeleton here. And now hopefully you can see now, hopefully the audience, you guys can see how straightforward it would be to go from here to it's now all you got to do is, you know, just go and look at the task handler, the trace record, the session, see what information is available there. Yeah. And then you can pull all of that out. You can send it wherever you want. You can send it to a JSON file, a CSV, an API, whatever you want to do. This is an extremely powerful feature. And yeah, all of the Nextflow reports, built-in reports are built on this. NFProv, NFQuilt, like I said, a lot of third-party plugins are built on this. So
I'm genuinely surprised and quite impressed at how easy it is to get into kind of the guts of Nextflow, because you know, I have messed around in the Nextflow code base before, and it's vast, so I kind of assumed we'd have to do a lot more to be able to access these objects. But I mean,
yeah,
it's not very many lines of code we've done here, and straight away we're getting right into the details of what's being processed, yeah, by the runtime, which is very cool.
Yeah, the observer is really nice, really powerful. Actually, a funny story about this is that you guys may know I'm working on this automatic cleanup feature that we want to add, right? And so there's a PR for that. And there's sort of, we've gotten the basic cleanup functionality working. But there's still a lot of stuff we need to do. Like we need to figure out how to make the resume work and stuff like that. And basically, you know, that basic functionality is there and it'd be nice if people could test it. But we're not going to merge it until the full thing is done. But, you know, using a Nextflow PR is kind of difficult. It turns out I was able to put that basic cleanup into NFBoost using this same observer pattern. And it really makes full use of it, right? Because it's doing all this stuff. It's inspecting the workflow DAG, looking at like, you know, the lifetime of files. It's listening for when tasks start and complete and files get published. And based on that, it's figuring out when a file can be deleted. I was able to put all of that into a plugin. And so, you know, in the meantime, while we wait for, you know, issue 452 is the infamous one.
I was going to say it's famous, this issue.
it's now the oldest open issue on Nextflow, I believe.
Is it? 2017.
While we wait for me to figure out how to get the resume to work, you guys, if you don't care about the resume, and I've heard that a lot of people don't, you can use this plugin in the meantime. And then I've also, honestly, that's NFBoost as a whole, if you guys are interested in working on plugins, I recommend this plugin in particular because it actually has it uses a lot of different patterns that you can do in plugins. There's the cleanup, which is an observer. And then there's also a bunch of custom functions and operators and stuff like that that I've been playing with. So if you want to do that stuff, this is also a good thing to look at. But honestly, any Nextflow plugin that you've heard of, you can go find it on GitHub and you can look at the source code. And it's very easy. You just got to go into that little source folder that we were in, and you can basically see all of the actual core stuff, you know, sort of wade through all the boilerplate. And you can very clearly see how all this stuff is implemented. And it's Groovy, which is, you know, it's not all that different from like Nextflow code. There's a lot more sort of boilerplate with like the class definition and stuff like that, that you don't always have to do with Nextflow. But if you're proficient writing Nextflow code, you should be able to get into writing Groovy code pretty easily.
Nice. Okay, so we've got our plugin. It's working. What's the final stage to kind of share this with the world? It's putting it on GitHub, I presume. Is now the time to kind of commit?
I guess we better release it. So you can commit it if you want. You don't necessarily need to make a release, but it might be a nice thing to do. So I'll let you decide how you want to handle that.
Stick testing to my get ignore file and then add everything else. There we go. So that's pushed hopefully to my fork. There we go. One commit ahead. Hello Channels podcast. Okay, so the code's online.
All right. So then let's cut a release and upload it to GitHub.
I don't do this through the GitHub releases, right? I mean, that's how I'd normally do releases. I just go to github.com and click create release.
You could do it, but the nice thing is that the plugin, the Hello plugin, provides a make command that will just do all this for you. It'll actually create the tag and the release and upload all the artifacts that are needed. So we'll do that now. If you go to the make file, the relevant command is at the bottom. It's I believe it's upload plugins. Upload plugins. That's the command that we'll run, but there's a couple things we need to set up first.
This goes two things. To Maven Central, is that right? Or is that just
that's the publish index command. We'll push the plugins to Maven Central.
Okay.
The upload plugins command just uploads to GitHub.
Okay.
So let's go to, if you remember that manifest file, let's open that up again.
This one.
So before you cut a new release, you always want to check this file. You got to set the plugin version to whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your plugin entry point is right. Make sure the Nextflow version that you want to use is right. I think all this stuff is already good to go. So we can we can leave that as it is. The other part that you need, let's go to the README, because the README will show us how to do this. And then if you go to the bottom, publish, package, upload, and publish. So, and this has all the instructions that I'm going through, but the thing we need here is this file called gradle.properties. It basically just is a little config file that defines these four properties it's showing, is needed to indicate.
And I want to stick this into the gitignore, right? Because I don't want this to go to Git.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to commit this, because you're going to have to put a GitHub personal token in here.
Oops. Okay, so then I take these keys and I stick them into Gradle properties. And that.
Yep.
Do I need organization even though it's my personal account?
I think the organization would just be your username. Yeah.
Okay, and then I need an access token. So to do that, I need to go and generate a new one, which I can chuck away before this episode goes live. So where is it? It's down developer settings, is it?
I think it's developer settings and then personal access tokens.
Classic one.
Either one should work. Yeah, the classic one is probably easiest.
Let's just do that quickly.
It just gives you all the permissions you need.
I'm going to set it to expire in 7 days. Testing, delete me. And then repo, I guess.
I think you just need repo. I don't think you need anything else.
Let's go for it. All right. Take that, put that there. Okay.
Okay. And now you should be able to run that upload plugins command.
Is it this one? Or
you can do that. Or I think it's easier just if you go down where it says it, just do make upload-plugins, and that will do the same thing. And so this is going to build the plugin. Okay, we got a failure here. Let's see what's going on. Not found.
Is it because the repo doesn't exist? It's because I renamed the plugin and it's expecting a repo with the same name.
Oh yeah. So I guess you're just going to rename it.
Yeah. There we go. Channels demo.
Well, in your Gradle properties, what did you set the?
I did a find and replace over everything, right? So. Or Gradle
properties. Well, no, Gradle properties.
But there's no repository name here. It's just username and organization.
Oh, I guess it's inferring it. Okay, so let's try this again. So it's going to build the plugin, and then it's going to create this. You see this? There's a .zip file and a .meta.json. So the zip file contains all the code. This is what's going to be downloaded by Nextflow when a user runs your plugin.
Right.
And then the .meta.json is going to be useful for publishing. So let's go back to your GitHub repo and refresh. And you should see now under releases, you've got a nice little
map. Magic.
1.release. Yeah, it does it all for you.
With all the assets.
You can go in and add, you can edit it and add release notes if you want, stuff like that. But this is the source of truth for your plugin source code. This is where Nextflow will go when a user wants to run your plugin.
Nice.
Now, your plugin is published. You're not quite ready for people to just, specify it and it runs because you haven't published it to the main registry.
Right.
We'll do that I'll show you how to do that in a second. We won't actually do it because this is just a demo, but I also want to show you how you can share a plugin without even publishing it to main yet.
Okay.
And so you go to the plugins docs again, it's coming back around there. And go to the very bottom. There should be a section on testing plugins.
This one.
We created this initially just to facilitate testing, but honestly, it also just works in general. basically you can use this environment variable NF plugins test repository to specify additional locations for Nextflow to look for plugins. Mm-hmm. This location can either be the URL for that meta.json that's on your repo. And so that would add like just a single plugin, or you can even go to the Nextflow plugins repo where the, like the main plugins index is, you can clone that repo and just have your own plugin registry and just specify that.
Nice.
And then Nextflow will use that, and it will use all this stuff in addition to the main registry. So doing this won't like break the normal usage. It's all additive.
Okay.
And so what you can do is take that URL and set the Nextflow, that environment variable to that.
What did I go into?
You're in Vim. Or you're in, I think you somehow you got into Vim.
Am I in Vim? I'm in a weird, weird control mode.
Well, quick.
Okay, everything's fine. There you go. right, try again. Export NXF plugins test repository equals and paste in that URL. Done.
Okay, so to confirm that this works, let's delete your local copy from your Nextflow plugins directory.
This one?
It's under plugins. Nextflow plugins. And then what does your config file look like in that directory? Let's disable the plugins part. You can just leave it as is fine. But maybe you could take off the version. So you just say plugins. So just say channels demo. So this will force Nextflow to actually go online and look for it.
Download it.
So we'll confirm that it works.
Okay. Now just try running Nextflow.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Nice.
Okay. So it gives you this message just to say you're using like a test repository. Mm-hmm. And then if you scroll down, you should see it. Okay. It downloaded your plugin. And then, there was an error during the download.
Crash.
Okay. Let's look into it. We ran into a problem. Let's debug it. Let's see what the log says.
This is my nice new Nextflow log viewer that I get to promote while we're
here. Oh, okay.
it's a long debug.
I saw the error message. File not found.
Where do you want to be? The bottom or the top?
Somewhere there was a file not found exception somewhere. That's probably what it is. Or this right here seems to say it. Can't get the zip to, it had trouble trying to download it. Is that URL correct? Try to wget that URL for the zip file.
Something my little log viewer is not very good at is actually copying text for some reason. It's not mine, it's by the textual team. Yeah, it worked. No, 404 not found.
There's not found.
So what does it look like over here? Copy link address. That's what I tried to do, and then that's what it should be.
Your repo is public, right?
Yeah. Come on. That's correct. That's incorrect. It's sticking. Wait, sticking in nextflow.io somewhere.
Oh, it's using nextflow.io. I think I might know why it's doing that. Okay, download the meta.json like you just did for the zip file, and let's look at that. I think this may involve a correction to the Gradle properties. Yeah, it's saying that the main release is on Nextflow.io. I think this is an additional property you need to set on Gradle prop. Let's go to the Gradle properties file again.
I set the GitHub organization already.
This is an issue with NFHello repo that needs to be fixed, which is that it's basically ignoring the organization that you set.
Okay.
So let's correct it here. Just
but then I need to re-release everything again, do I?
Yes. Just run the make command again and it'll overwrite the release.
Okay.
You don't have to delete it.
I just set it to 0.1.1.
You want to make a new release?
Yeah, why not?
You can do that too.
What was it? Make
upload dash plugins. Or maybe not. Are you in the right directory?
Okay. Okay, now it should just work, right? Because it should be there and it should get the latest version. Next flow run hello. No, still tried to get 0.1.0.
Yeah, because your environment variable, you need to update your environment variable to do 0.1.1.
Hey!
All right.
Got that.
So if you release a plugin and for some reason you don't want to publish it to main or whatever, that's how you can use it until it's published. If you do want to share it with the world the usual way, let's go to the Nextflow plugins repo. So this is, again, this is how it currently works. We hope to improve it in the future. But if you go to that plugins.json, it's basically a giant JSON file with all the plugins that have ever been published, including all the core plugins. They're all there. If you wanted to just browse available plugins, this would be one way to do it, is browse to the JSON file. One day we'll have a proper little NPM-like website where you can just, you know, sort of search for plugins and look at everything on there. But basically what you'll do is you'll add an entry to this JSON file. You can see, for example, so you first add a section with ID and then the releases, and then the releases is an array. And then each of those items in the releases is the meta.json that was generated by your release. So you just copy that meta.json into the JSON file. And then every time you make a new release, you just append it to that list. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Nice.
So you do that, make a PR against the repo, and then me or Paolo or Phil or somebody will review it. We pretty much let anybody publish whatever they want. Basically, you know, as long as you don't break the JSON file, we'd like to, you know, see that maybe you've done some basic testing and stuff like that. That's just more for your own good. But you know, you can publish a plugin. It's nice, right? Because you can publish a plugin and it won't really affect anything that anybody else is doing. The only issue that comes in is if you have a plugin and a lot of people are using it and then you push new versions, you want to make sure you're careful about that. Currently Nextflow isn't super good about this because most people don't pin the plugin version. And so Nextflow just always grabs the latest version, which means that if you push a new version and it's broken or something, then suddenly a lot of people's pipelines are going to start breaking.
Which is what we found the other day when we pushed breaking change v2 of NF validation.
Yes, this has been a challenge with that plugin. One thing we hope to add to alleviate this is the ability to say in Nextflow, you know, plugin and then greater than or equal to some version. And that will allow Nextflow to pull patch releases. So like Phil just did a 0.1.1, that would automatically get pulled. But then if Phil were to release a 0.2 or a 1.0, those will not be pulled if I said greater than or equal to 0.1. Yeah. And so that will allow people to sort of keep a stable version while also being able to pull the patch updates. That should make things a bit easier. But in any case, just try to maintain good hygiene with your Nextflow version and your semantic versioning and all that.
Yeah. Very nice. Cool. Okay. I think we're about finished, right?
I think so.
It's been a bit of an epic ride.
Yeah.
this is definitely the longest we've ever recorded for with a podcast. I think I might do a bit of editing, maybe chop out some of the bits which were not super smooth. So thank you, anyone who's listening who made it to the end. Hopefully this was interesting and useful. I definitely learned a lot. Thank you for your patience, Ben. You put up with me writing some groovy code.
Yeah.
It
starts here, and before you know it, you'll be contributing to Core Nextflow. Phil's already done it. He added the colored logs.
True. Yeah. All you need is some carefully worded baits. But hopefully, I mean, this will. I really hope that the plugin kind of community ecosystem will start to flourish more. I mean, plugins have been around for a while, but no one really kind of noticed them or knew them. But we're starting to see more and more plugins hit the mainstream now, and especially if we can tidy up some of these things and, you know, smooth this process out, write docs, fix all these little tiny bugs, maybe improve a registry and stuff. Like, you know, there's lots of little edges which need to be kind of smoothed off, but I think we can start seeing some really cool stuff come out.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So I'd say anybody who wants to develop a Nextflow plugin is welcome to reach out to me or Phil or the community, and we can help you out as best we can in the interim. And then hopefully in time, we'll be able to automate and document some of this stuff better. And it'll be much more of a, you know, flywheel kind of thing.
And I should mention as well, we've got the community forum over at community.sakura.io. And there's a Nextflow section. And if you try your hand at building a plugin, then feel free to hop over here and drop a post. Either just tell us what an amazing thing you've done, or ask questions about it. And I just think we can start off with some tags, but we could probably make a subcategory here specifically for plugins to collect all those questions together. It'd be
great
to see some activity there. Very nice. Great. Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode of Channels Podcast, hopefully in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Bye everybody.
Thanks everyone. Cheers.